Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to WFB Talk Continues and this installment of Sidelines with Nance Wernis of the two-time champion Kansas City Storm women's football team. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email them to me at nwernis@kcstorm.com and we'll try to get those questions addressed or comments or have you on the show next time. As we have this show every week at during this time slot. And, in fact, tonight I want to start with responding to an email that I got from a couple of shows ago, and it was a segment that I was talking about how leagues have crippled the growth of women's football, and I talked about the owner-controlled leagues. I think the previous segment I talked about the IWSL and the WFA, et cetera. And this particular segment was about the WPFL and the new WSFL and how the owner-controlled leagues would have its advantages, but it also has responsibilities then. And I had made an assertion specifically about the WSFL that there's some need for improvement around organization and so forth. And I think the email kind of indicated that that really wasn't a problem within that organization and that those might have been misguided comments. So I appreciate that feedback and just want to take a couple minutes before this show to kind of give you some touch points as far as why I said that and if those are good points or not, then you just take that forward or disregard. You kind of have to understand the genesis of the WSFL. Randall Fields had started that, and it was part of his concept. Actually, it wasn't called the WSFL initially. It was under an umbrella of a men's league, and the concept was that he was going to couple up men's teams and women's teams to kind of create kind of a brother-sister relationship and spread reduce costs and so forth and kind of help mentor and bring the women's teams along that way, which I thought was a kind of a novel concept. It was new in our industry, women's football, and it was a differentiating factor against compared to the other leagues. So that was kind of how early operations were laying out. And although we were getting some help from that men's league, being under that umbrella also had some constraints. In any event, Randall had some issues with, he had a men's team in that league, and there were some issues, and I think kind of lost that and had to dissolve that relationship with that league, and there's some drama there. So he started a different men's team under a different league, and we kind of lost that opportunity to couple. We were kind of basically a division. The women's had a division under the men's league, and we had kind of lost that relationship. So out of that, though, lemons to lemonade, we had some more flexibility to kind of define ourselves. And during the next few weeks, Randall and I worked together, and there were about four kind of tenets that we had come up with to help differentiate the new WSFL with the other leagues and try to offer something that wasn't being offered before. And those four tenets, if you will, were owner-controlled, the concept of a halo, flex fees, and non-league games. And so I just kind of want to visit those kind of four tenets which we had come up with and where we sit a year later, and that might help understand why my suggestion at the last show was that in order to grow women's football, that the WSFL as a league might look at some opportunities that they have around organization and so forth. Obviously, owner-controlled was one of the hot buttons that we had come up with to differentiate ourselves, and we had some ideas around what that meant. And a year later, we have taken a lot of votes on different things that the owners wanted to do, but we have not recorded those, or the WSL does not have a record of what those votes were. And so, again, it kind of goes back to my concept of it's an advantage to have this owner controlled league, but there's also responsibilities. And should there have been some responsibility around, you know, getting those things written down and making sure that the voting things that were voted on were recorded and they could be then, you know, disseminated to the new teams coming in so everybody understands what was going on. So one of the major tenants, owner-controlled, I think, was not well implemented over the first year without having the record of the different voting results. The HALO was another tenant, if you will, that was used to kind of market to the newer teams as they were being recruited into the league. And I know this was something that was written down because it's actually in my contract. It was something that was very important to me. And my contract with the league says that there's a 75-mile halo from the city center out in a circular fashion, and that no team would be allowed to operate within that halo without my permission. And operate was even defined as saying they could not recruit players, they could not recruit sponsors, they could not recruit staff, and they could not, another team could not play games, conduct practices, meetings, events, et cetera, within my halo. And so that was recorded, and that was part of my contract. Somewhere along the line, over the last year, through folklore or whatever, what was being represented is that they offered a 50-mile radio halo, and it wasn't real clear where that started. There was some discussion that it started where the stadium was, your home stadium, and so so there was, you know, definitely some miscommunication around what I was brought into the league with and the rules that I had and the fact that they were more stringent. Or they were less favorable for the newer teams, just from a verbal perspective, as far as what was being offered from a, you know, as the definition of halo, and then there was some confusion as far as what that actually meant, where it was being measured from, and so forth. So, not to beat a dead horse, but the halo was a big piece of what we were presenting as a differentiator to gain advantage over the other leagues, and having not have that written down and being able to disseminate that uniformly across the teams as they came in, there's, you know, confusion was created, and I think everybody was operating under some different understanding and rules. So yeah, that was one other reason that I asserted the fact that there may be some opportunities to shore up the organization of that league. Flex fees was another thing that actually, I came up with that in response to a experience I had with the WFA and the league's insurance. And the flex fees, the concept there was that the teams would get together and they would decide on what the offerings would be for the next year, what the league would be providing to the teams. And based on the cost of those things that the teams were going to, quote-unquote, buy from the league, then there was an opportunity to also buy additional things or things maybe the league had a relationship with the uniform vendor, and you could also get your uniforms with them, or insurance or equipment, balls is a good example also. And so the team could then contract essentially with the league for other services and things, and that would be that's kind of the flex fee, where the flex fee came from, where you can either buy or not buy certain things from the league, certain things you had to quote-unquote buy, like the website. You know, everybody had to put in toward the league website in equally, but there may be some other items like a team-specific website you might want to buy through the league or not. And so we had this concept of flex fees. Specifically, I wanted the insurance to be unbundled because the initial contract I had gotten from Randall bundled the insurance in. And my experience with the WFA was I paid that league fee in the late fall or early winter, they didn't activate my league insurance until, or my team insurance until I think March. Well, there's actually a lapse there because I was coming from a different vendor and from a different league, and I had contracted that myself, and there was actually a lapse in my coverage that I was not aware of. And so it was important to me to control when that insurance got started. And, in fact, that's a good thing for you guys to all remember, word of warning, if you're changing insurance companies, and if I think the WFA still wraps up the insurance in their fees, then make sure that the dates are aligning so that you're not without coverage. In any event, though, the whole flex fees concept was also part of the initial definition of the league. And that has just gone by the wayside. I mean, we started into our financial and budgeting planning process recently, and it was nowhere to be found. And I was trying to work under the same scenario and the same processes that we'd used the year before. And I don't know what happened with the flex fees and that whole idea about how to build the budget bottoms up, and then you derive your league fees based on the services that you buy. We kind of did it backwards, and so I'm not sure what happened there, but that was part of the product. The product of the WSFL was a part of the definition, and it just for some reason, because perhaps it wasn't documented well or understood, or there wasn't process around it. But that's been lost, and it's not being used again. The fourth tenant that was helped create this league and define the league was the fact that you're able to use or to schedule non-league games. That was something that was important to Randall, because that was to get to create parity with the WFA. Because remember, Randall's background is a riff with Jeff King is really why he wanted to start the women's league, and so he wanted to always be at least in parity with what Jeff was offering, and the WFA will allow their teams, in theory and on paper, to schedule with external league games with teams out external to the league, and so it was important to Randall to make sure that was included in his league also. And I believe that's in paper still in place. Of the four things that were defined, this time last year or before, that one seems to still be fairly intact, although they went to a 10-game schedule. So maybe on paper it looks good, but in practice, they're not really allowing it that much. But the other three have really suffered as far as the implementation, the understanding, the operations of the league. And I think because of those reasons, that was the comments that I made last show around could there be some opportunity with that new league, the WSFL, to look at their processes, their organization, and become stronger. And if not, like the email says here, if it's not the case, then certainly don't do anything. If it's not important to keep those things written down, and it's just as easy to kind of rehash and remember what was said, then that's okay too. Certainly, this show isn't here to lay out action items for anyone. It's just here to throw out ideas if they're good or bad, and maybe spur some discussion. So. Wanted to revisit that, and I appreciate the email. And as always, if there's anything that you guys want to comment on or want me to comment on, you can contact me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com, and maybe we can have you on the show even. Because I sure get tired of talking to myself by myself. This show was going to be recorded tonight. It's actually live, but I don't have access to the chat. So if BJ, if you could make note of anything that's come across chat, we can also try to get those items conveyed to the masses and make sure everybody is heard. So that being said, enough on the WSFL, not here to beat them up. But we do have some feedback of a new league that is coming up, and this was actually going to be the topic of tonight's conversation. It had to do with about this time last week, the UWFL, United Women's Football League, was announced via a press release coming from a company called ArcFest. And there wasn't a lot known at that time. They announced that they had bought a league, and it had 48 teams, and they divulged some plans that they had around promoting the league and so forth. As quick as that that press release went out, it was loaded up into our chat, or not our chat, our bulletin board, and some comments were starting to trickle in, but then it was taken off. The press release is still available out online through Google. If you Googled it, ArcFest and UWFL, you can see what was put out there. But for some reason, there seems to be a little bit of a backpedaling, maybe, or maybe there was some timing issue with the press release, maybe some accuracy issue. So we don't have a lot of information about the United Women's Football League, and that was going to be the topic of the show tonight. But I did want to at least comment on some things that I've heard, and I'd like your comments also as you try to piece this together and see what this means. It does appear that the United Women's Football League is the latest split in women's football, that there is going to be a fourth league in 2011. I do know that there was some drama, if you will, with the IWFL, and I know there was even a lawsuit filed this fall. And some set of teams have left that league, and there was some discussion that they would be joining the WFA. And there was some discussion around those teams wanting some sort of special treatment or an elite status. And initially, I think that was embraced by the WFA, and that caused some concern with some of the existing WFA teams that they felt that they were being slighted, because I do know that there were some conversations going on with existing WFA teams wanting to leave and maybe join the WSFL based on the fact that the WFA seemed to be bending toward these this set of teams that were trying to negotiate a better deal or some sort of elite status or some special privileges. So kind of got a little ugly there. Don't know what the fallout is going to be or was, but then when the press release went out, it seemed as though it looked like the WFA had kind of morphed into this thing called the UWFL. But as soon as that came out, it appeared that they kind of backpedaled, and that's not the case. The WFA hasn't really said that. In fact, I think they kind of came out and said, we're not doing that. And so we're not sure what all this means, if the league is going to start, if they're going to play as a league, what teams are involved. So we'll just know more later. Perhaps the press release was incorrect with the 48 teams. Maybe it was just premature, and there's still some negotiation going there. But in any event, last week when the news came out, I thought we'd have a hot topic to talk about tonight. And as true to the form of drama in women's football and to how things just don't always go as planned, it doesn't appear that we have a lot more information than what came out about this time last week. So again, I offer that if anybody knows anything more than that, just, you know, definitely get that word out, and we'll try to address that and assess what that really means to women's football and what their mission is. That being said, we do have some word that the name, I think, is a pretty popular name, United Women's Football League. The WSFL had some drama this fall or in the last two or three weeks, and there was some talk of a new league, and that was the exact name that was brought up. And I thought that was kind of funny. When it was brought to me, the United Football Women's Football League, and I just came across as a text message, and I said, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good name, and I didn't really care. But it was kind of funny that that's the exact name that this organization has come up with. And that name was also used earlier in the 2002 by a league in Colorado. And it doesn't appear to have any connection. So we know that there's been a URL that has been established that's very similar to that just since October. I believe it's called United Women's Football .com. So we may be seeing, but although there's nothing there, there's no website up. So I guess it's just something else that we need to watch. And so I think next week we'll have some more information. And if not, we'll just talk a little bit about the topic for next week is if this new league is what it appeared to be, and we've gotten some indications from the press release and some things that have been talked about, basically I think what is trying to be done here is kind of a top-down growth, if you will, for the sport. And I wonder if we should talk next week on the validity of that or the wisdom of that. And are we building the sport up, or are we just on a house of cards that will tumble? I don't know if we have the support and to support what they're considering and to sustain that growth or to sustain that that new league or that new echelon that they're trying to build. The reason I say that is I think about the footprint and the breadth and the depth of women's football across the country. And I've talked about this in one of my other segments where I get frustrated with the leagues that just continue to try to cannibalize the teams across the leagues instead of actually growing the sport and getting new teams and trying to start new teams in new areas so that new players and new sponsors and new coaches and staff can be involved. We seem to just want to recycle what's out there and not really grow. And so, and I think I challenged us to, you know, look at the West and how we have a big hole. If you mapped all the existing teams, they're clumped together. We have big holes in the in Colorado and in the West areas and other areas around the country. And that keeps us from having the breadth and the depth. Breadth meaning how much of the country are we covering, how many people are aware and have access to a women's football team if they want to play. And then depth being do we have that support structure through, which we don't have, through the school systems or Parks and Rec or other competitive league situations where we are building the sport from, you know, a grassroots approach. And we should kind of consider how we look compared to how softball, think about some of the other higher-end competitive women's sports, basketball, softball, soccer, those all have professional leagues or organizations, and they have the depth. You know, they have kids playing the sport from very young ages, so that the caliber of play and the sophistication of the play at those higher levels is higher than what most people can accomplish. And so it is geared toward, spectators, because people are doing things on the field or on the court that we can't do ourselves. And so that's something that we would pay money and we want to go see. Volleyball, a similar situation, where that sport has the breadth and depth across the country and also into the, in this case, educational system, but, some way of grassroots developing women to play that sport over many years, whereas we don't have that with football. People start football as young adults, and even the longest playing women, I don't know, I'll just go on go on a limb and say maybe 10 years might be one of the longest that women play. And most of them are much shorter because we end up grabbing them in the time of their life when, before they go through some transitions. And, a lot of my players aren't married and as they go in, or they don't have kids. And so as they go through those transitions in life, football becomes less of important to them. So we don't have women that have played the sport a long time, typically, and they haven't created or achieved a level of competency that someone that has played basketball for 20 years or softball or soccer. Now, soccer is fairly new, but we are seeing women come up into that, those professional soccer teams that have played for 20 years now. So, or maybe a little bit less. So anyway, football, we don't enjoy that. We don't have that advantage that some of these other sports, and we know how they are struggling. And so I don't know if trying this top-down approach, so to speak, that says there's some set of teams that have achieved some level of competency, and we think that they're special, and we want to put them out on TV and in variety shows or in reality shows, which I think is really funny. I have a feeling that if those aren't done very, very well, we will look like, the whole country will laugh at us because I think of the drama that happens on our teams here in Kansas City. And I'm sure that the networks that will want to run the reality shows will want to create interest and drama. And I just hope that that isn't very misplaced and that we end up looking like fools in front of the country. But we've got, our sessions have these ideas about reality shows and televising the games. And I want to talk next time, and I want your guys' comments on whether or not we're ready for that as a sport. And do we have the ability to sustain that? Maybe we think we're ready now, but do we have the breadth and depth underneath us to sustain that going forward? And I don't know. So send your comments to nwernis@kcsoundfootball.com, and we'll get those together. And if you want to join the show and talk about what that might mean and if we're on the right track with that, some of the concepts that Art Fest has for the sport, and it would be interesting discussion. So if we don't have any more information about the new league, then we'll kind of explore that. And based on the press release that has been put out, and perhaps over the next week, we will have some more information, and we can discuss that and see what how we think that might fit into our sport. Help us grow, or will it be a detriment? I don't know. The reality TV shows, I'm really skeptical about. I think that we could be opening ourselves up to just being laughed at. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're done well, and they paint us in a good picture. But just knowing the networks, and they're going to want ratings, and they're going to want people to be interested. And you typically get that by creating drama and kind of stoking the fires, and certainly women's football is not short of personalities, strong personalities that would play well into what the network might want to create for their ratings. So a lot of concern there, but we'll see how that goes. So again, that's kind of the topic that we want to talk about next time. Hopefully we have some more information. If not, we'll try to cover what we can based on what came out in that initial press release by ArtFest. And if you have any comments or would like to join the show, just email me at nwernis@kcstormfootball.com. So thanks for joining tonight. You've listened to Sidelines with Nance Wernis for the Kansas City Storm on WFB Talk Continues. Good night.